If you have your Bibles with you, we're going to start in Hebrews chapter number 9. Hebrews chapter number 9 and verse number 27. Just a single verse tonight to get us started. But this is not where we're going to stay. We're just getting started right here. Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 27. And I will even ask you to stand just for the reading of God's Word. One verse, but I tell you what, it is God's Word that we're standing for. Amen. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 says, "As it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." And that's what we're going to focus in, is on that judgment. You know, there's lots of appointments that we have in life. There's doctor's appointments and dentist appointments and auto repair appointments. And you used to be able to say the cable repair guy who's going to show up sometime in the next week and you're supposed to be ready for it. But, you know, even with here at COVID and over this last year, you've got to make appointments to go to the grocery store almost, or to get into the library, and it's appointments and appointments and appointments and appointments. And sometimes you've got to schedule these appointments out in like months in advance. Hey, I'm going to get in to see a new doctor, and you know, my left arm's about to fall off. You figure out which arm's my left. My left arm's about to fall off. I called the doctor and he said, "Well, I can get you in here in about 6 months." And isn't that the way the appointments seem to go? And by the time we get there, some are going to get canceled or rescheduled or postponed, or we're going to go to one, they're going to add two more appointments to it. But you know, there's one appointment that everyone will keep. It won't get canceled. It's not going to get rescheduled. But it's an appointment that every person will meet. The outcome of those appointments are vastly different. And we're going to take a look at those. For the saved, it is an appointment with the judgment seat of Christ. And we're going to look at that first. And then for the lost, there's also an appointment at the great white throne. But let's start with prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for tonight, the opportunity to be here. Father, I ask that you open our hearts to the word tonight. Father, there's words of encouragement tonight. Father, there's words of duty. Father, there's words of action. And Father, there's also words of urgency. And Father, I just ask that you stir us tonight with your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Amen. Well, again, we're looking, you know, we're all looking at the judgments. Amen. Anybody know there's a judgment coming? Amen. Amen. And you know, I think of judgments, and most of us, when we think of judgments, we think of the negative side. Think of like a judgment against us, or, you know, standing before a court. And I love the courts here in Kansas. We're working with a young man right now, getting him through. And it's almost like in Kansas that you're guilty before proven innocent. Okay, which is kind of backwards. But, you know, there's a judgment that I'm looking forward to. I don't know about you, but I'm getting kind of excited about it. This judgment is found over in 2 Corinthians. So flip back with me. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. I know we were there this morning. We looked at some verses there. But I want to draw your attention to the first part of 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. And to kind of get some context of what we're talking about, or who Paul is talking to, we need to know that. Amen. Is he talking to the saved? Is he talking to the lost? Is he talking to this? Is he talking to that? Who is Paul talking to? And here in verse number 1, it says that, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven." And if I look at that, I can tell you that Paul is talking to the saved. He's talking, we were looking this morning at that Christian life that begins with the new birth out of John chapter 3. That being born again, born from above. Trusting and placing our faith in Christ. For those that have placed their faith in Christ, when this earthly tabernacle, when this earthly tent is dissolved, dies physically, we have a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. There's an eternal home waiting for those that know Christ as Savior. And when I look at this, and I tell you what, you can almost get excited. Amen. I'm looking forward to a body that doesn't wear out. I'm looking forward to a body that doesn't get tired. I'm looking for a body that doesn't need glasses. Where'd everybody go? I'm looking forward to this. But while we're in this life, if you drop down to verse number 4, for we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened. You know, there's problems in this life. There's struggles in this life. Not that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon that mortality might be swallowed up of life. You know, the goal here is I look at this and I think about it as we're weighed down with problems. And we're anybody looking forward to going to heaven? Anybody looking forward to getting there? Hey, man, you know, I think about like over in 1 Corinthians 15 where it talks about that this corruptible puts on incorruption. This mortal puts on immortality. What was sown in weakness is raised in strength. You know, I'm not looking forward to taking this body there. I'm looking forward to getting a new one. Amen. Amen. I'm looking forward to getting a new body. One that God has created, a glorified body in heaven. Amen. And hey, we're just getting the context here. Where does this come from? Now, he that has wrought us for the self same thing is God. That word wrought talks about to work fully, to accomplish, to finish. It is God who accomplishes this. It is God is the one that changes, that transforms this body that's subject to sin and death and sickness and all the garbage of this earth into a body that's fit to be in His presence. And it's God that does that. Amen? But not only is it God that changes this body, but look at the rest of verse number 5, who also, in addition to doing that, hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. This is that indwelling Holy Spirit. Now, He calls it an earnest. Anybody know what an earnest is? I'm going to have a little fun here. Wasn't there a movie about Ernest some time back? I'm trying to get some, you know, getting a little bit of laughter. People going, oh, no, yeah, don't bring up him. Ernest, now, what is an Ernest? An Ernest, if you were to go buy a house or look at a house, you're looking to do something, the first thing you do, say, yep, I want the house, and you give them an earnest payment. What that earnest payment is kind of a deposit that says, you know, if we're looking forward to buying this house, and this is just my word saying that we're going to buy it and we're going to pay for it in full. Amen? That's what an earnest payment is. We have that Holy Spirit indwelling us, who is the earnest, that deposit, if you will, of what's waiting for us in glory. Amen? The payment in full in His presence. Amen? I can get excited about this. Yes, ma'am. We're in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and I was just reading verse number 5 that talked about that earnest of our apparent, that earnest of the Spirit. 2 Corinthians 1:22, hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit into our hearts. Ephesians 1:14, for which the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. We have that Holy Spirit. By the way, I skipped over this word just a second ago, looking at that earnest. But God also has given us. We didn't earn it. We didn't work for it. There was nothing we could do to, in our strength and our ability to gain it. It was a gift of God, just like salvation is a gift of God. And at the moment of salvation, we receive, given to us, that indwelling Holy Spirit. Amen? It is that Holy Spirit that convicts us and convinces us, that teaches us, that reminds us of Scripture. By the way, He can't remind you of Scripture if you haven't read it. Okay, you can't live by words you've never read, right? I know, I can just claim ignorance. Well, God, I didn't know your word said that. He said, I gave it to you. Ooh, ouch, there went the toes. Have you read your Bible? It is that Holy Spirit that reminds us of Christ and points the way to Christ. And it was Jesus that gave him. And it's that free gift. It's that one that guides us and directs us, teaches us. And I tell you what, I need him. Amen? Amen. Because it's that Holy Spirit that reminds me of who I am in Christ. It is through him that we've received that adoption of sons. And I don't want to get sidetracked here on the Holy Spirit. But oh, I tell you what, I'm so grateful for him. Okay? I'm so grateful for him. Now, what I do want to mention on with the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit is to remind us of Christ. The whole purpose and the ministry of the Holy Spirit is to point us to God, never to himself. And I can have a little fun with that and chase a rabbit. And I look at those that today are so focused on, oh, lift up the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's, no, lift up Jesus. Okay? And it's that Holy Spirit that guides us, that reminds us of His Word, that reminds us of Christ. And we have been given that. Okay, so now we kind of set the stage so we know who Paul's talking about. We got this figured out? He's talking about those of us that are saved, those of us that have accepted Christ as Savior, that are trusting in Him for our eternal life. We have received that promise of eternity. We've received the promise of heaven. We've received that earnest. We've received that indwelling Holy Spirit. Amen? All right, so now we got the intro of this passage out of the way. Let's drop down, because where I want to pick up, we're talking about that judgment, because we're going to stand before God. Drop down with me to verse number 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Judgment seat. What Paul is referencing here is he's talking to the church at Corinth. In Corinth, there was an arena. The Olympic Games, if you will, there in Corinth. And so you would have this bema seat. This was the seat of where the judges would stand. And as the athletes would participate in the sports, when they were done with the event, they would come and they would stand before the judge to receive a reward based on what they had done. First place, second place, third place. Okay, our Olympics are kind of based that same way. After an event, you see those top three that stand up there on the platform, and they are brought the rewards for what they have done. This is that bema seat. It's a place of judgment, it's a place of reward, but it's also a place of I want to say the other judgment of coming against, I think, of Pilate in the judgment seat, doling out the judgment to Christ. But what we're looking at here is the one that is that bema seat where we're rewarded. And just like that, as we go to stand before Christ, we will also receive rewards for what we've done. Now, I'm not saying that, oh, see, well, see, here's works. See, you've gotta keep doing good works in order to keep your salvation. That's not what this is talking about. Okay? We don't work to earn or keep salvation. We're saved by grace through faith. Amen? Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. I know we can make a lot of Baptists happy. We're not saved by our works. Good, we get to sit down. But verse number 10 out of Ephesians 2 that we like to kind of skip over says that we are created unto good works. We're created for them. not saved by them. We are His workmanship. We are the design of His hands to do the things He's called us to do. And it is what we do that is what we're being rewarded for in this judgment seat, whether good or bad. And I'm reminded, Brother Furman, got my eyes rolling back here going, oh no, I'm in trouble. I remember Brother Furman referring to, he had a little phrase, a little poem, this life will soon be passed and only what's done for Christ will last. Okay? This is what this judgment is talking about. It's talking about what we've done for Him, what we've done with the gift that He's given us. And I could look back at the parable of the talents where He gave one 5 talents and another one 2 talents, another one 1 talent. The one that had the 5 went out and got 5 more. The one that got 2 went out and got 2 more. The one that got the 1 went and hid it. You know the story I'm talking about. What have you done with what He's given you? That's what this judgment seat is about. What have we done for Christ? And by the way, you know what's exciting about this judgment seat? We get to see Jesus. Amen. Hey, man, we get to stand there face to face with the one who left the portals of glory to come to this earth, to be robed in human flesh, to live that perfect sinless life, to walk among us, to teach us, to encourage us, to correct us. And then to die on an old rugged cross for us. To be risen again that third day for us. That in spite of us came for us. But God commended His love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's the one we get to stand in front of and give an account of what have we done with what He gave us. Gave us. Either way, we stand before the one that knows all about us, knows the number of hairs on our head, the freckles on our nose, knows what books we're reading, knows what TV programming we're watching, knows what we're doing on Sundays or Wednesdays or when the church is gathering. We say, well, no, I would rather. He already knows what we're doing. Not only does He know what we're doing, but He knows the motives of our heart. Well, you know, I want to see if I can slip this one by the preacher. We're going to show up in church. Hope he preaches good today. Oops. I know, best nap I get all week's in church. Amen. Amen. Yeah, there he goes preaching. I hope he hurries up. Yeah, oh, it's that same message again. Oh, I hope he hurries up. You know, our motives, there's something wrong there, and He knows our motives. He knows what we're thinking. Knows where our mind wanders. Ooh, I wonder if I left the coffee pot on. Okay. And, you know, some of us, like me, I've got to be careful with that because I got ADOS. Attention deficit. Oh, squirrel. It's easy to get that mind wandering, but He knows our motives. He knows what He's called us to do. By the way, He knows that He's commissioned us. And I look at that commission in 2 different ways. One, we know the Great Commission. We're supposed to be going out and sharing the gospel. Anybody doing that? Taking cards out, handing them out, looking for folks to talk with? You know, I can carry cards in my pocket all day long, but unless I hand them out, they don't do any good. And sometimes even just handing them out doesn't do enough. I want to engage in conversation. You know, this life is short, and one of these days you're going to stand before God. And if you were to stand before Him today and He were to ask you, why shall I let you into heaven, what would you tell Him? He's commissioned us to go share the gospel. But He's also commissioned us to serve. And when I look at passages, 1 Corinthians, I want to say 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12, I know it talks about the body, the church being the body. Christ is the head, but we're the body. And as I look at all the different body, all the different parts in the body, I don't find spare parts anywhere. I don't find extra parts anywhere. I don't find parts set over on the shelf just waiting for an opportunity. When's the last time you took your left hand off and left it on the nightstand and went off without it? Yesterday, my wife says, she saw me do that. Hey, man. But there are no spare parts. God has commissioned us to serve. Are we serving? Have we done what He has asked us to do? Now, as I think about looking at this passage and looking at this judgment seat, whether good or bad, I want to draw your attention. Turn back with me just a couple of pages to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. And I want to start here in verse number 11. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, beginning in verse 11, says, "For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid." Which is Christ, Jesus Christ. "If any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest or visible, for the day shall declare it." What day? The day that we're standing before Him. "Because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward." Amen. "If any man's work be burned, he shall suffer loss." That's loss of reward, not salvation, because it goes on to say, "But he himself shall be saved." So when I look at this, this is not talking about purgatory. This is not, nothing there. What this says is that Christ is the foundation. He's the solid rock we stand on. Amen. It is His Word that this church is built on. It is Christ who's the head of this church. He's the one that started the church. He's the one that runs the church. He's the one that grows the church. Paul in this passage talks about, well, one plants, one waters, but God gets the increase. There are things that we can build on the foundation. That foundation's Christ. What is it we're building? Things that are great. Gold, silver, precious gems. I tell you what, you want to see some gold? Go share the gospel with somebody and get somebody that once was lost is now found. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Amen. You want to plant a little gold, a little precious gems? Teach a Sunday school class and lead a child to Christ. Help a brother or a sister in Christ to get victory over trouble in their life. These are the things that lift up and edify the body. This is the gold, the silver, the precious gem, that there's reward. I'm laying up treasures in heaven. Amen? Amen. But you know, there's also the wood, the hay, and the stubble. Well, Lord, I know it's Saturday. It's 2:00. I know we're supposed to go soul winning, but it's snowing outside. Stubble. Well, Lord, you know, I know I should be, but I'd rather be, hey, wasted opportunities. And it says there very clearly in verse 15, what we lose is the reward. We don't lose salvation. We're already there. Amen. What we lose is a greater opportunity to bring Him glory. To bring Him more praise. That crown. There's five different crowns. I'm glad you mentioned the crowns. There's five different crowns that Scripture mentions. At minimum, there may be more, but Scripture only gives us five. And a soul winner's crown, a crown of righteousness. And there's five different crowns that we can gain. Crowns of gold and jewels in the crown for things that we have done for Christ. But you know, as I think about that judgment scene, we can get excited about, you know, man, we're going to get to stand before Jesus. We're going to get to see the one that died for us. I'm going to be able to be like Thomas and see the nail prints. Amen. And I can get excited about all the things that we've done and the programs and the missionaries and this program and that thing and teaching this and leading this person, giving this about doing that. I can think of all the good things and I can get excited about that. You know, but part of me goes, yeah, but, you know, mixed in with all those gems, I know there's a bunch of hay. And I'm reminded this last week, Thursday night, we were in here and getting some of the Christmas decorations. And I brought a tote up here and we were packing away the nativity sets. And the newspaper around it had gotten old, was no longer really able to wrap those to protect them. So I went into my office and got into my paper shredder and took the shredded paper, hay, and packed all the precious pieces in scrap paper. How many of us mixed in and surrounding and intermixed with all the precious pieces are we filled with hay and stubble? Here's a wake-up call. What am I supposed to be doing? What am I not doing that I should be doing? And if I were to stand before God today, and I know I'm there, I know I'm eternally secure. And by the way, that verse 15 there talks about, gives us our security. Okay, we lose the reward, but not our salvation. We are eternally secure in Him. But you know, there's so much more that I could be doing for Him. Not because it's going to gain me anything, but because it's going to glorify my Savior better. And so these are wonderful things for us to look at. There's a judgment seat that the saved are going to stand by. That the saved are going to stand before God and have to give an account, as we were reading over in 2 Corinthians, giving an account whether good or bad. What we've done that was for Him, what we've done that was for ourselves. But you know, there's another judgment coming. Because the one we've been talking about, this is just for the saved. What about those that we know in our family, in our neighborhoods, in our workplaces, in all around us today? What about those that we know that have rejected Christ? I mean, we can see it in a lifestyle, not that anybody's good works or bad works or any judgment, but we can see that where we've tried to share the gospel with somebody, we just, you know, they're not interested, don't want it, there's a rejection. What about their judgment? What happens there? Because as we started off in Hebrews, it's appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. What about the lost? What happens to them? Revelation chapter number 20 is where I'm going to look at this, because this is the great white throne judgment. This happens at the end of the millennial reign. And kind of setting the stage of where we are in the eternal timetable, if you will. We have the church age that we are in now. The next event that we're looking for is the rapture. That's where the church is called out. Jesus comes for His saints, comes in the clouds. We can see that in Revelation chapter 4. It is during that time that the church is in heaven that we have the judgment seat of Christ that we just looked at. We have the marriage supper of the Lamb during a 7-year tribulation that takes place on this earth. At the end of that 7-year tribulation, the Lord Jesus comes back with His saints. Satan is bound for 1,000 years while the millennial reign takes place on this earth. After that 1,000 years, the devil is turned loose for a season to tempt those, pardon me, that were born during that millennial reign. Afterwards, the devil is cast into the lake of fire. And then all of those who have died without Christ, from the beginning of creation, throughout the Old Testament, throughout the New Testament, throughout the tribulation, all those that are basically waiting judgment in hell. Hell is like being in the county prison waiting to be sentenced to the federal prison, if I want to put it that way. It is now standing in Revelation chapter 20 at the great white throne judgment. And if I start reading here in verse number 11 of chapter 20, of Revelation, it says, "And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books, plural, were opened. And another book, singular, was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books," catch this, "according to their works. The sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book, singular, of life," if your name wasn't there, "you were cast into the lake of fire." This is also a judgment of works. What have you done with your life, good or bad? But I want you to notice that nowhere in here is an opportunity to plead with God. "Oh, I can live any way I want. When I get up there, I'm going to be able to say, well, see, my good outweighs my bad. I was good most of the time. But God, hadn't we done all these wonderful things for you? Depart from me, I never knew you." There's no opportunity to plead with the judge here. The judge is just simply looking at the facts. The guilt has been pronounced. And so what's the punishment to follow? What are the consequences to follow based on what you've done or not done in this life? That's the judgment waiting for those that have rejected Christ. And as I think about that, and I could look into more detail, and I may hear just a minute, at what the conditions are that are waiting for those. But how many of us that have accepted Christ as Savior know of a family member, a child, a grandchild, a neighbor, that we have tried to share the gospel with and they have simply rejected, they're not interested? Have we thought about what's waiting for them? And as we look at the times around us, as we look at the day that we're living in, and we can see that the day is getting short, we're in those last days. That trumpet could sound at any moment, and our work here is done. It's all we've been able to do. How many of those left behind will be left behind because we didn't want to go share the gospel? Our wood, hay, stubble that got burned up, is that going to result in someone else burning for all of eternity? Jesus gives us a picture of hell and describes it. I want to say there's five different accounts over in Mark, or three different accounts in Mark where he talks about the conditions of hell, where the worm dieth not, the fire is not quenched. But I think of the passage over in Luke 16. We know this is the rich man of Lazarus. This is not a parable. This is not a, let me give you an example. He's using names. My guess is he didn't name the rich man because there were those that were listening that would have known him. But we know the story of the rich man and Lazarus, how the rich man fared sumptuously every day, had all the wealth that he wanted and needed. The beggar Lazarus laid at his gates full of sores. And one day, it came to pass that the beggar died, was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom, and the rich man also died and was buried, and in hell lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. He cried, saying, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." But Abraham said, "Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented." And when I think about those that are headed for hell, that are headed for an eternity separated from God. This is a fire that will never go out. It is a fire that burns that is not quenched. It's never satisfied. And when I look at the rich man, I look at the condition, and by the way, he's still in hell today, waiting for that judgment seat to stand before God. And in hell, he can see. He saw Abraham afar off. He had a physical need, hunger and thirst. Just have Lazarus come and dip water on my tongue to cool my tongue. He could remember. Abraham told him, remember, through your life you had these opportunities. There's a judgment coming for those that are separated from God, that they will remember every opportunity they had to receive the gospel. They will remember every time someone handed them a track. Because it's appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. And over in Romans 14 and in Philippians 2, it talks about the fact that every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. There's an appointment that every person will meet. Can't get away from it. The difference in the appointment is, it rewards or is it torment? It does make a difference what you believe. Well, haven't we done? Are you practicing what you believe? Are you letting what you believe change your life and affect your life to follow with the commission that you've been commissioned to go do? Whether service in a local church or a local New Testament church, and there's local New Testament churches throughout the world, are you serving in that church the way God has called you to serve? And are you reaching out into the community that only you can reach? When you stand before Him, will it be gold, silver, and precious gems? Or wood, hay, and stubble? Maybe you're here today and you've never taken the first step. And standing before Him is being judged by your rejection and to be separated from Him for all of eternity. You can change that tonight. It's a little time of invitation here on a Sunday night, and maybe you're here, and I'm going to ask you, if push comes to shove, if you were to stand before Jesus today, which judgment seat will you be standing at? The Bema Seat of Reward or the Great White Throne? Only you know that. I don't. If you're not sure, let's get it sure tonight. If you've trusted Him as Savior and you're not serving the way you should, let's get that settled tonight. Let's stand quietly for prayer. If that Holy Spirit's dealing with you, will you come? Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You for Your Word. Father, thank You for the truth of Your Word. Father, sometimes that truth is easy and enjoyable, and sometimes, Father, it steps on our toes. And it reminds us of the urgency and the need that is out there. Father, Your Word says that the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Father, we see the days of Noah today. People carefree with life and marrying, giving in marriage, just kind of worried, just doing their own thing. And not realizing there's a judgment coming. There's a flood coming. That the church is going to be closed up into the ark. Father, help us to be busy about the work You've called us to do. Father, give us that urgency to reach out with Your love. The passage that talks about that You're not willing that any should perish, Father, help us to have that same goal, that same vision. And Father, to stand firm on what we believe and to share that belief with all that we come in contact with. Father, be with hearts here tonight. Father, go with us this week. In Jesus' name, amen.